welcome to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com.
The Doghouse.
NTNRadio.com.
Brought to you by Phil and Warren.
And not Ken.
Because Ken doesn't like you anymore.
Ken doesn't enjoy walking in the rain. There was actually a song about Ken. It was like, I saw you and Ken walking in the rain. Not you, because you have a car. Oh, that was a good dagger right there. Welcome to this week's Doghouse. We're going to talk a lot of racing. There was a lot of racing going on, even though there were only two places that had racing. But there's still a lot of racing. MotoGP and Moto America shared the track at COTA. And Supercross was in Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake. Home of the Tabernacle.
Couple of things we want to talk about a little bitty before we get into motorcycle racing.
Yeah, we had some pretty significant deaths in the motorcycle community this past week. The first one was Robert Persaig, who was the author of Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. He was 88 years old.
Well-known BMW hater.
Well, he comes all that way if you read the book, but I don't think he really was in real life.
Oh, okay. I was just like, he didn't like the Bavarians at all.
No.
Okay.
But, yeah, he sold 5 million copies of the books over the years. That's a lot of books.
And only three were read.
I will admit, it is a very tough read.
It is.
If you have ever tried to read it and made it all the way through, you should feel proud for yourself, because it's as much about motorcycles as philosophy can be. It's more of a philosophical tome.
Yeah.
And
I mean, there's a lot of good advice in it.
Yes, there is.
Right? And there's a lot of smart thinking in it, but it's definitely a difficult read.
Yeah. So it started off as a story of, how him, his son, and two of his buddies went from Minneapolis to San Francisco on a motorcycle ride.
Yep.
And the philosophical change he had in himself and the retrospective of his life during that ride. The fifth character in the book, and I didn't really truly realize this until I read his obituary, the fifth character was himself in third person.
Okay.
So
I read that a long time ago, yeah. So I'm trying.
Well,
to
I did too, but I enjoyed it, but it was a struggle to read at times.
Yeah, it just
it's one of those books where I would read it for a day or two.
You had to put it down
and come back to it, a while later. And the second major death in the motorcycle community was John Parham, the founder of JMP Cycles.
I didn't realize that he died.
Just in the last couple of days. He was 62 years old, and he'd been struggling with pulmonary fibrosis.
Yeah,
and I don't know much about that, but just by the name alone, it had to be.
It sounds scary.
Yeah, because, that's just those are two words you don't want. Breathing and fibers just can't be good for you.
There's just no good no good explanation of that.
But if you've ever bought motorcycle parts,
I almost said it's extraterrestrial, but it's interstitial lung diseases.
Yeah.
Or that can result in scarring. And trust me, your lungs, this is coming from me, right?
Yeah.
Lungs are very important. One and a half. Lungs are very important.
Yeah.
Right? And when you can't breathe, it's scary and it's bad, right? And it's amazing what they can do, but there's still a lot out there. So
we got the passing of two fairly important guys in the motorcycle world.
And then we also have another passing, which it's not really two-wheel related, but it's racing related, and this is a little bit about a racing show.
Yeah.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. announced that he's killing NASCAR at the end of the season. Right? He announced the death of NASCAR today live. I was watching it here in the studio on Facebook
Live.
Yes,
it is quite possible that it could be a very serious blow to the health of NASCAR.
I was actually looking for a tap sound effect to play when I said that announcement, which, I'm going to say kind of serves them right after what they did to motorcycle racing here in the U.S. It's good to see them get a taste of their own medicine a little bit. DMG was rough, although DMG's been doing a great job on Supercross, right? I feel like
they were up until this weekend, but it's not their fault.
And that's Supercross. I'm at flat track.
Oh, well, there was no flat track this weekend.
No, I know. Supercross is actually not DMG. DMG actually has motocross. They run the motocross, too. They don't do Supercross. Supercross is its own entity, which we are going to have to rant about that Because well, I don't even understand. Well, we should get into that. You know,
yeah, might as well.
We've done enough of that other news important
what
stuff.
What the heck's up with the TV coverage of Supercross? So yes, it's going to be a late race because it's on the West Coast,
which I hate. But okay,
yeah, it wasn't supposed to start till 10 p.m.
in the nighttime.
Eastern Standard Time. That's when the moon is up, the stars are out,
Captain Morgan's is cracked open,
yes.
The Coke is already on the shelf, you're not using that anymore, right? It's after 9 o'clock, you don't need to mix.
Yeah, all that. And so I'm sitting there, you know, I'm relaxed, I'm chill, I got my little tablet up so I can live tweet.
You're in the undies sitting on the chair?
No, I was still in my pants.
Okay.
Yeah, big boy pants.
Big boy pants.
So, right. And I got ready to live tweet, and I turned to Fox Sports 1, and it was the MMA.
No. At 10 o'clock, it was leftover baseball game.
Oh, on Fox Sports 2 was the MMA.
Yes.
So at Fox Sports 1 was the end of the baseball game.
So what was supposed
to
happen?
And they ran a thing at the bottom that says go to Fox Sports 2.
Wait a second. So, because you're a little bit wrong, although you're right. Supercross was supposed to be on Fox Sports 2 this weekend. Fox Sports 2, in the beginning of the evening, had the prelims for the MMA match, the UFC, and then UFC Friday night or Fight Night or whatever it's called. I guess Fight Night because it was Saturday night. was supposed to go on Fox Sports 1, Supercross on Fox Sports 2. But then this baseball game went into extra innings. And it was being shown on Fox Sports.
And it screwed everything.
So it was being shown on Fox Sports 1. So here's my thought. If it's not the Yankees, and they can't settle it in 9 innings, who the hell cares?
Only the people in those two cities.
Yeah, but it was like the Padres playing Minneapolis or something. It was like two cities that there's more people here in the studio than there. I was just like, Las Vegas is calling us. They probably want us to stop complaining. But we're not even going to answer them. So, like Warren, I go to Fox Sports 2, and they're showing the MMA fight, which they were good fights. I enjoy them. But that's not what I turned on to watch.
No, I wasn't expecting
because
it.
There's this show that's on every winter season that gets some of the best ratings for Fox Sports called Supercross.
Obviously, that is an untrue statement now.
When the ratings come out, it's a true statement.
Obviously, is no longer a true statement because they would not have put this in place of MMA.
And we should say this. I have the Fox Sports package on my television. I have Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, Fox Sports Mexican, Fox Sports whatever. I almost said something I shouldn't have.
Yeah, part of my DirecTV package, I get all of it too.
Right. So it says, go to Fox Sports 1 and log in with your cable provider. If Fox Sports going, you can watch it. So I go to my computer and I say, well, I'll watch it that way. And I get, you can't access this.
Yes, I got the same thing.
Well, yeah, you can't access this.
You got the little thing, you click here for DirecTV viewer. No, didn't work.
Yeah, I did the click here for Comcast or Xfinity. Right? And I was I'm bent. Right, so then I was like, I'm bent, I'm angry, right? And I was like, but I still had the television on in the other room. And I look up, and the baseball game's over, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, okay. The baseball game's over. And for about 5 minutes, they had motocross on Fox Sports 1. So I went in there, and then all of a sudden, MMA came on. I went over to Fox Sports. It jumped around.
Yeah.
I punted.
I never actually saw any Supercross motorcycle racing on any TV channel.
I punted. It was like midnight before, or 10, 11 o'clock. It was after 11. I punted finally and watched it.
I had punted long
last
before
night.
That.
I watched it last night. I was on a rebroadcast because obviously you set it up to tape, then you missed half the show.
Yes.
Right, so I watched it on the rebroadcast. I did like the track there at Salt Lake City. It had a good starting line, right? Like it was wide and, you know.
I wouldn't know.
I know.
No, I watched the highlights on Facebook and some other sites.
So I'm telling you a little bit about it. I liked the track there. I am a little confused, right? And I am not trying to be Philly downer, and I'll probably going to come off as a jerk when I say this, but I want to talk about the 250s. And, you know, the 250s, there was a lot of crashing guys that went out early, right? I mean, there was a lot of the top contender guys, like, crashed out and put themselves out of the race.
Yeah. Out of the championship, right? Both. Out of the race and out of the championship.
Right. And they were... So they're into the... This is their second or last race, right? They race at Las Vegas again, right? And there's this guy, Justin Hill. And he was at, like, sixth, and they're like, oh, he'll be a couple points short of wrapping up the thing...
Yeah, they were expecting him to go to Vegas for the championship.
Right, because McElroth was ahead of him and some of these other guys who had crashed. Plessinger was ahead of him. You know, and then people, not McElroth, McElroth didn't crash. McElroth finished ahead of him. But Plessinger was ahead of him and he crashed. And, you know, there was Faulkner had a bad spill, you know. Just a whole bunch of things that were working for this guy to be in championship contention, right? So he could wrap it up and win by like a point or two, right? So they were all excited. So then on the last lap, right, he makes a pass to go from fourth to third to wrap up the championship, right? But he jumped through a yellow flag area.
Yes, he did.
To get up next to the guy to pass him as he came out of the yellow flag area. I'm pretty sure every rule I've ever read said you can't advance yourself. A, you can't jump through the double flags. And the other guy did check up. And B, you can't advance yourself position on the track wise under a yellow.
That's what I thought.
But they didn't seem to have a problem with it. So just, not that I didn't think Justin Hill, no yellow flag, Justin Hill would have caught the guy, obviously, and beat him.
Well,
pretty sure Justin Hill, he only needed a couple points to wrap it up next week, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much a top 10 would have wrapped it up, and I don't see any reason he wouldn't have gotten that. Just kind of like, wow, hey, we just all watched him break the rules and you gave him the championship. Didn't it sit well with me? Maybe I got the rules wrong. If there's a listener here that can explain
What you just explained is what I thought was the case, too. I wish I could have seen it live. That way you'd have heard what the announcers had to say about it.
Well, the announcers didn't really say anything about it until, oh, my God, he just passed him. Because the pass actually happened after the yellow flag, right? Here's the other thing I don't know, and I don't know this about Supercross, right, is does the yellow flag end at the next flagging station, or does it end once you pass the incident? If it ends at the next flagging station, he shouldn't have passed.
I thought it was the flag to flag.
I thought it was flagging station to flagging station also, but I could be wrong. But I know you're supposed to roll. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed
to jump.
Well,
that's why you see guys not jumping.
And Davalos slowed and rolled, and Hill jumped, caught him and passed him, coming out of that.
Yeah. And I'm not sure he would have caught him.
Well,
he might not have. He would have caught up to him, but couldn't get around him.
Two turns left or something like that. It was not a lot.
No.
So I'm not poo-pooing his championship because I think he would have won it anyway.
Yeah, but you went down there. You pointed out there are a lot of guys went down on the track.
It was a tough track.
Yeah. So yeah,
it was definitely a tough
track. That's why I don't think he would have got around. I think he might have caught him, but I don't think he would have got around him.
It was definitely a tough track, and you know that it was no joke. It was a rough ride. There was a guy that came over. Was it Plessinger who went straight over the handlebars?
It was Faulkner.
That's right. Faulkner did like a handstand on the handlebars, and he probably won't be there for Las Vegas.
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear anything about, you know, as normal.
Well,
he had that
nagging soldier and shoulder injuries.
Now, he had that to begin with.
Right.
Because there was some question whether he'd come back for Salt Lake there for a little while.
So, you know, we'll see. Then we get to the 450s and we go in, we got two red plates, right? How often do we see that?
Like, not very.
Never. Which does ask me to lead up the question is, how come the first rate everybody isn't wearing a red plate? Right?
Because they're all tied for the point lead.
Everybody should have a red plate the first week. That's just Phil's stupidity.
Yeah.
right? I mean, I'm an idiot, so that's what I feel. You should do what I say. And in the early in the heat races, Dungy and Tomac matched up in the heat race together,
mm-hmm.
and they battled it out. And when Tomac caught Dungy, he held him off, and it was a great fight. The crowd was that was probably the only time that I heard them get into it. They didn't seem to be that happy the whole rest. They were quiet. It looked miserable there. It looked cold. It just looked miserable there.
Well, you don't see that in the online highlights. You know, you don't see the audience shots and everything. So
they were a very quiet crowd for most of the night. But they were actually into it with that battle. And Dungy held them off, and I thought, holy S, Dungy wants to win, right? And I've been questioning that. Then they get to the finals, and Dungy has a decent start. And before the end of the first lap, he's in the lead. Tomac was back at like 15th.
I think he was 20th in the finals, 20th position coming out.
He was far back, right? By midway through the lap, he was like 15th, and then he got to 10th. But he was like 15 seconds back, and he just started coming. And all of a sudden, he got all the way up there to riding with him, and then he passed. I'm shocked. It was, you know, I hate saying things that you say, but you're right. It was like he was on a totally different bike. He was so much faster. And, you know, we always say the best rider on the best bike that fits him in Supercross wins. But that was actually one of the most dominant
rides.
Performances we've seen in a few years. Like, I don't think Roczen would have had anything for him if he was there and healthy. You know, that guy that's not coming
Who?
Back? Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. He just was... I mean, he was making up seconds a lap on a short track, right? They ran, what, 27 laps? Right? And he was making up seconds a lap. They were like 43-second laps.
Yeah, it was fine. You know, you just in the highlight film, you could see that it was like that. I mean, it was just
quick laps, and he made up like 3 seconds in one lap. And it wasn't like Dungy was in traffic, and it wasn't like Dungy wasn't trying. I don't know whether...
Well, Dungy had to go through all the traffic.
Yeah, but so did Tomac.
Not as much.
And I don't
Tomac
know.
Only had to go 8 places. Dungy had to go, you know, what, 13, 14, 15 or more to get up where he was?
No, Dungy, no. Dungy started the race out and ended up third coming out of the whole shot. Dungy had the early lead. He was out front he was leading by the end of the first lap. Right? He was leading by the end of the first lap.
Okay, I must have got the highlight reel backwards.
He got the highlight reel backwards. Tomac was the guy who had to come from way back. He was like, I know he was at least 15th at one point, right? He might have been further back, but I know he was at least
15th. And Chad Reed did not get in front of him.
Well, I mean, obviously Chad Reed wants Kawasaki to win and not a KTM. Right, I mean that's what, when Tomac went by him, he didn't say anything, but yeah, it was scary how fast Tomac was compared to everybody. He was just long gone. So now Tomac has a 3-point lead with 2 rounds to go over Ryan Dungy. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't see Ryan Dungy pulling this off.
No,
They're going to Jersey, either. Right? They're going to Jersey, to the Meadowlands, and then they got Las Vegas, where Dungy's tough. Unless Tomac goes down, I see this as being over. I see Tomac winning the championship, which I'm glad and I'm sad, right? I would like to see Dungy get his 4th and retire, because I think that's what he'll do.
I'm glad to see that's quite possible. But like I've said a couple times on earlier shows, after a couple comments he's made, I just don't think he has the spirit. Well, he had it for that race right after the Chad Reed incident, but
I don't know. I was hoping to get his 4th and retire after this year, right? Because I don't want to think of him as a guy who lost the love of racing. Right, I mean that kind of sucks, but yeah, he just doesn't have it. Tomac's way more hungry.
Oh yeah, definitely.
which I'm glad. Tomek has worked hard, and he's been
through he has.
And we've questioned him over the past couple of years a lot.
Well, ever since he had that massive wreck at motocross 2 years ago,
yeah,
where he broke both his shoulders. And,
but we even questioned him before that. The season after he moved up, where he moved up, I think he was on the Honda, and he just couldn't get anything done. And we were like, oh, what is wrong with, right? Because he was on the Geico Honda, and we were like, you know, what a disappointment and stuff. And now it's like, now he's like Grease Lightning, right? He's like Rocky running around chasing the chickens.
What that kind of tells me is that the Hondas just aren't competitive.
Yeah, we've known that for a while. But although when what's his name there is on it, Ken Roczen, they're competitive again. Right? So.
Well, the one bike.
Yeah. Well, whatever. It's still a Honda. Anyways, so they got two more rounds left. They got New Jersey this weekend coming up, and then they have...
And for all you listeners, the New Jersey race is going to be early.
4:30.
The coverage starts at 4:30. The race starts at 5.
And I think it's on the big channel, right? I think it's on regular Fox, right?
Until it gets bumped for baseball or MMA
or soccer,
rugby.
Rugby or cornhole
cricket.
Matches, right? But yeah, it's a 4:30 main event. It says main event's 4:30. Yeah, so it'll be on somewhere around 4:30 the television time. TV, there we go. But yeah, so it's definitely going to be something to watch to see if Dungy can get the hunger back to come after him. Then we go to COTA.
Circuit of the Americas.
Big, fast straightaways.
In Austin, Texas.
In Austin, Massachusetts. What was that road trip? I love that movie. He went to Austin, Massachusetts. You mean Texas?
Let's start with Moto America. You want to start?
No, let's start with Moto America.
Yeah. Super Sport?
We should start with Super Sport. Apparently, Jiggy Dog... That broken leg is healed.
Oh, yeah. And there, really all we can say about Super Sport was J.D. Beach just outran everyone and never looked back.
J.D. Beach is fast, right? He's on the Yamaha, which I think is the best Super Sport bike out there, right? Valentin De Beest has the Suzuki, which is another strong bike. But Gerloff was like a year and a half behind Beach. De Beest was in second. He was not that much ahead of Gerloff. And J.D. Beach is fast. When I look at the field,
I don't know why J.D. Beach didn't move up after last year, because even though he didn't win the championship.
Can I say why?
Why?
Because old-ass Josh Hayes hasn't retired yet.
Good point.
Right, and he's a contracted Graves Yamaha guy.
Well, if somebody wanted to buy his contract out, they could.
They could, but is he going to give up? Is he going to give up that, you know... If Josh, Josh Hayes could fall in the tub and break a hip. That's what old people do, right? and
Josh, we do love you, though.
No, we don't. Not after the way he acted towards us. All the nice things we've ever done and said about him, the way he treated us at VIR, I don't really care about Josh Hayes anymore. I'll say it.
No, I guess so.
I will say
it. I'm trying to bring him back into the fold.
I don't care. Not to be hateful, but Josh Hayes, right, he's holding J.D. Beach and Garrett Gerloff up from moving up, right? And while maybe to Josh Hayes, he's like, well, I got to make my living and I got to do this, right? What he's also holding up is guys going overseas to race for World Superbike and MotoGP, right?
But at the same time, you guys have said it. You personally have said it in the past. If you want to be the man, you got to beat the man,
right? You know, and you know, in the beginning of the season every year, Josh Hayes shows chinks in his armor, right? I mean, he was notorious for crashing out at the races in Daytona. Now that we no longer do the Daytona 200 and have the races at Daytona, COTA is the kickoff for Moto America, and race one he wrecks, and so did Cam Bouvier. Both Yamahas out, right?
Yep.
And that gets us to Tony Elias, who's now got, at that moment, 3 in a row at COTA.
Now he has 4 in a row.
Now he's got 4 in a row.
He's approaching Mark Marquez territory.
Yeah, he is. Tony Elias is like, world stage, here I am. And
But he did this last year. He had a great start to the season.
Great start to the season, then pooped. Then pooped himself. But, you know, in some ways, and this is what I don't understand. In some ways, if you're a Moto America rider, right, this is the only races that are important. This and Laguna Seca, where you're in front of the world teams. This is your best shot to be seen, boys.
Yeah.
You got to kick old guys like Josh Hayes out of the way, figuratively or literally. Right? Like, I was a little...
You got to be Zarco.
I think the guy who made...
You got to be Zarco.
Yeah, I'm just going to run into Rossi because F him. He's only a 9-time champ and I'm French.
He didn't quit, though.
No, he didn't. Josh Herron, Cam Bouvier... You know, Josh Herron's still young enough to go back overseas. And I'm kind of sad he didn't have a better weekend. Bobby Fong is borderline too old. I mean, he's, what, 31 now? But Bobby Fong...
Is he that old? I didn't realize that he's that old.
Bobby Fong's old.
He had some good racing this weekend.
Bobby Fong's fast. On his super stock, he came in third overall on the first race. And, what, fifth overall on the second?
Yeah, which you would... Who would have thunk?
Yeah, he is... Bobby Fong's fast. You know, when he raced Super Sport,
I think if his tires would have held up, he could have gotten the second place in the first race.
Yeah, Bobby Fong's fast. You know, for a non-Asian guy, Bobby Fong is fast. You know, Roger Hayden got his second and a third, I believe, right? He came in third in the second race. Yeah. So Tony Elias pulls the doubles, leads the points again. I'm not sure we can read too much into that because
same thing happened last year.
The bed. But he knows when to be important. Tony Elias wants to go back overseas, and he doesn't want to be British Superbike. He wants to be World Superbike or Moto 2 or, you know.
Yeah, he wants this one of those.
I really wish before the race weekend we could have live streamed with all these guys where I could just yell at them and say, this is the time to do the performance of your life. This is the time, guys. Right? You want to be seen. You want to go to Moto 2. You want to go to MotoGP. You want to go to World Superbike. You want to go to
If World you want Super to be Sports. The man, you right. got to beat the
Josh
man.
Hayes isn't getting the bump. He's too old. Right. Bobby Fong, Roger Hayden is as old as Josh Hayes. He ain't getting the bump.
No.
Tony
not.
Elias only has a chance because he's European and it's going home. Right? Bobby Fong's probably a little old. You're Jake Gagne, who had a hell of a wreck in practice.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of, did you hear what they said about his bike setup?
He was off?
No. That it was... Yeah, he was off the bike. But instead of running the normal brakes that those mm-hmm. bikes do, because of the way he brakes so hard with the rear, they put motocross rotors and brakes on his rear wheel.
Hoping that's legal. But, okay. But guys like Jake Gagne, Jake Lewis, Josh Herron, Cam Bouvier, Garrett Gerloff, even J.D. Beach is starting to get old. Love J.D. Beach, but he's starting to get old. Right?
Well, how old is he? Because I didn't realize
J.D. Beach,
those guys were in their
30s. Mid-20s, I think. You know, 25, right? That's starting to get a little old.
Yeah, well, if he's going to get that bump, he's going to have to get out of Super Sport and move up to
right.
The
he's got to win
bike.
Himself. Right, he's got and that's why Josh Hayes kind of needs to go because J.D. Beach isn't getting that bump up to Superbike.
Not with Yamaha.
Not on a bike good enough to win. With Josh Hayes being there.
Yeah.
Right. Same with Garrett Gerloff and some of these guys. Right. It's Josh Herron's in his mid-20s now. Jake Gagne, I think he's in his mid-20s. Danny Eslick's in his 30s, right? He's pretty much, I think he's just turned 30 or so. He's pretty much done, you know, age-wise.
They're still great racers. He is one of those other guys who could race till he's 40.
Yeah.
Because he's still going to have that talent.
Right. You know, and not that we don't need the old guys out there helping the young guys, right? We don't need the old guys out there on a number one bike. On a And yep. that's such a nasty thing
it
to
is,
say.
It is, but again, if you want to be the man, you got to beat the
right.
man.
Right, you know, and, well, Woo! the problem is he's been beat. When you put a young stud on the same bike, he gets beat, right? Gerloff beat him. Hearn beat him for a championship in the middle of Josh Hayes' big run.
But obviously didn't beat him bad enough.
Well, he did. Right. Like, the problem is that Graves Yamaha knows that unless they... Graves Yamaha knows with Josh Hayes there, it's either going to be the young stud they brought up or Josh Hayes winning the championship.
Right.
Right? And that's what they know. That's what they like. Business-wise, it's probably not a bad decision. In my opinion, it just hurts the sport. It hurts the future of the sport. It hurts the sport's image overseas, right? Because I'm sure...
The guys
at MotoGP and the guys in World Superbike goes, well, that kid can't beat a 70-year-old man, right? Even though Josh Hayes is only, like, in his 50s. Right? I'm just throwing Epic Hayes hate today.
Yes, you are.
I don't ever take joy in somebody's crash, and he did crash. From what I've read, he's okay. And Garrett Gerloff crashed. Cam Bouvier crashed. You know, and that's not good either, right? I mean, Cam Bouvier, this was his opportunity to shine. Right? You got it when here in Laguna Seca, when World Superbike teams and World Supersport teams are walking around, you got to be bright lights.
Yeah.
You got to walk gotta step in there up. And like, I'm the man. And they were running fast times, and it was a big fast race because that's a big fast racetrack. But I felt a little let down by the performances, really, of the young American guys. Maybe there was nothing they could do. Right.
Well, they were putting some good times down.
They were putting some good times down.
But they just weren't getting. Yeah.
You got
to
get past a lot. You got to get past the three old guys: Tony Elias, Roger Hayden, and Josh Hayes.
And all of them still have skills.
And when Ken sits there and says, "Oh, you know, it's good to see the Suzuki wins with Roger Hayden," it's like, you know, Roger Hayden's like 38.
Oh, he's not that old.
Roger Hayden, he's older than you think. 37, 38. He's got to be somewhere in that area. Roger Hayden is 33. Close enough. Maybe Nicky Hayden's 38? I don't know. One of the Haydens is 38, damn it. But, you know...
Even if you got to make one of them up. Well, I think we beat Moto America enough.
Yeah, we beat
enough.
Moto America
but,
enough.
You know, oh, no. I got one more rant.
Television coverage.
The television coverage. I have always said BN Sports did a great job with MotoGP and Moto America... And they did last year.
This year
with this race, absolutely not. It was terrible coverage because it wasn't even on TV until after the race was over.
Well,
they ran El Clasico.
Yeah.
Some soccer match between Barcelona and Madrid.
Probably 70 years ago.
No, it was live.
Okay. We had a spy at COTA. And apparently, like, during the racing and some of the on-track action, and definitely between the races, they were showing soccer games on the big TV.
Yeah, so I got home midday.
That, to me, is a kick in the teeth.
Yeah, I got home midday, so I said, okay, I want what time the races come on. So I turn on the TV, and I skip forward through the hour-by-hour grids up there, and I said, okay, MotoGP comes on at 5 o'clock. I didn't think nothing of it. So at 5 o'clock, I turn on. I said, in the Midwest, you know, it'll still be daylight. It'll be good. Turn on 5 o'clock. I get my tablet out to do some live tweeting. The race is over like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, because they just don't care about us.
Nope.
Right? I mean, that's like what I
learned
this weekend.
First race of the day was MotoGP.
Right.
Second race was Moto America Race 2. The third race was MotoGP or Moto 2. There was no Super Sport. There was no Moto 3.
What we learned this weekend is that broadcast television has no respect for motorcycle racing.
Or they don't get the ratings to earn the respect.
Well, that's not an or. That's still a fact that they have no respect. And something has to be done. Like, I wish Supercross, and I've said this since Moto America came. I even said this when Wayne Rainey was on the air with us when they first announced Moto America. I said, you need to have a streaming package. Right? I will gladly pay for it.
They do. BN Connect.
No, that's not a streaming package.
It might have been on there. Yeah, it is. I don't know if it was
not
on
not
that.
To Americans, right? Listen, being is in less than 26% of the homes in the U.S., right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't get, I can't sign up for being Connect without an account that has being. I can't get being as an offer on my Xfinity in my area.
I don't know if you can buy it as a separate thing.
I tried last year, right?
I don't know if you can do it this year or not.
Ergo, Moto America to reach the general masses.
You can't because they got that some kind of exclusivity in their contract.
Screwed that whole thing up. I'm holding Wayne Rainey personally responsible. You screwed the whole thing up, right? You should have said to Bean, listen here, guys. You're not in that many houses. We need to have a streaming package like MotoGP and World Superbike to survive.
Yeah.
And if they said no, you'd have been better off selling a streaming package and walking away from the deal. Right? Maybe, you know, I mean, I know that goes against everything that you were trying to do where you said, well, we want to be on the same station as World Superbike and MotoGP, but they pretty much pooped on MotoGP this weekend. Bean pooped on MotoGP.
Yes, they did.
Right? Bean US pooped on MotoGP. That says to me they don't really care about motorcycle racing. And that whatever they told you was BS.
And in tomorrow's post on Facebook and Twitter, when I put up this week's show, I'm going to put in there, Bean sucks.
Bean pooped on MotoGP.
Well, something like that.
Bean sucks, right? Bean pooped on MotoGP. And that hurts. Right? That's why we have the package, right? That's why I watch the package. That's why I watch the package of World Superbike. I would gladly pay for the package. I paid when they said they were going to be on that other network that they, you know, a website that they never showed up on.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I paid waiting for that.
A bunch of people did.
It's not been about money. Right?
It's about access.
It's about access.
And right now, unless you have BN Sports,
and they decide to show it.
And they decide to show it. You're not going to.
You can't watch the race. Yeah. And guys, that hurts, right? So, Bobby Fong.
You got
Bobby. People should be singing the praises of Bobby Fong, which I always do, anyways. People should be singing the praises of Bobby Fong, and his hell of a ride.
And JD Beach,
hell of a ride, Jiggy Dog. But they're not because we can't watch it. Right. And, you know, all these people, oh, you know, you can do this, you can do that. No, and I need to be able to go to Moto America and log in, just like I do MotoGP, just like I do World SBK.
You got Moto America Race 1 live on Saturday. Because I went back and I didn't watch it on Saturday because I was out doing stuff, but I went back to see, and because of the screw up on Sunday, I went back to see, well, did they do it on Saturday as well? So, no, you could watch it live on Saturday, but you didn't get anything live on Sunday.
And I
nothing.
Feel, right. And I feel like, you know, I feel like once you start a bridge on fire, you must throw gas on it to make sure everybody knows you're crazy, right? I feel like most of the media in the U.S. covering motorcycle racing, unlike us, right? We've never, we're the doghouse. For a long time, we're the number one, and probably still are, listen to show about people listening about motorcycle racing. Why? We don't know damn it. Stuff about it.
Mark the minutes down.
I'm marking the minutes down.
Because we got to have a beep.
Yeah, we don't know S about it, and you guys still listen to us. And we love you for that. You're retarded, but we love you for that. Right? I mean, I'm not even going to deny it that you have really low standards.
We are the Tropic Thunder of motorcycle racing.
We're the Mystery Science Theater 3000 is back on Netflix.
I saw that.
New season. But we're like them of motorcycle racing, right? But you guys love us for some reason. I don't know why.
Eight of you.
The 15 of you that listen weekly. No. But
I'm discounting family and friends.
We've gotten press credentials and we argue to the nail for them. We've never gotten handed anything, right? We've earned everything we've got. Right? All our access, when we get riders, it is not because we called up their press people, because press people most of them don't have press people, first off. And if you go through the series, even when it was AMA Pro Superbike, they had a horrible, horrible media relationship. And the Moto America one is not much better. It's a little easier to get the press credentials. So they're nicer people. They're not as smug as the people from DMG were. But they're not helpful, I know I'm sounding like I'm peeing on Moto America this week, and I've made the effort for a long time, like halfway through last season, not to be negative, but there's some things that have to happen, or we're going to lose it.
But you can't blame Moto America or MotoGP for this past Sunday's.
Because
BN weighed scales.
Yes.
And said,
right.
El Clasico was more important than live racing.
BN screwed him, right? And I saw this coming a couple years ago. But what I do want to say is that, you know,
because the coverage has been good.
Yes, and I've watched some of their races last year on BN when I went over to your house and a couple other places, and they did a great job, right? And I'm not knocking that. The coverage was way better, and I like their MotoGP coverage.
And they've actually had American racers come on to the pre-shows.
Yes, and I like that, and that's great, right? But the sport in general is struggling right now.
It is.
It is struggling bad, right? And the answer is not change the rules. The answer, believe it or not, the answer is not series sponsorship.
No, the answer is getting the racers out in the community to drive.
And the answer is
a reason to go.
Right now, the answer is getting the racers sponsorship. Right? These guys need help because they can't they're not walking in and saying we're on live television. That's a big important thing to a sponsor. Right, they're not walking in saying we have a guaranteed. Right, I say I write Jake Gagne a check for Ambrosius Chicken. I write Jake Gagne a check for however much, we'll say $100,000. Right, I don't know. I'm throwing out a number there. Right, $50,000. Right,
Right,
$50,000, and I turn on Sunday afternoon to watch my $50,000 commercial drive by on things, and there's a goddamn soccer game on.
It's not gonna work.
Right, when he comes to me next year, I'm not thinking $50,000.
And I don't. And this is also they got to start coaching the racers to say, you know, my Brosser Chicken Yamaha R1 was superior today. I can't help it, but those Nikon optics on my front end made, you know, whatever it is, whatever
right,
your sponsor is,
right.
You got to win it.
You got a NASCAR. Right?
You got to have somebody behind you taking your hat off and put a new one
damn
on every
right.
5 seconds.
Right. Yep. You got a NASCAR with those things, but they're in risk and it worries me. It worries me that, you know, there's not enough. Obviously, there's not enough people watching on television that Bean takes it serious. Right, that's what we learned.
Well, I would like to know, and this will be hard to find out unless one of our European listeners can tell us, because being broadcast in Europe as well.
Yeah, but
was it on live in Europe?
But it's not on being in Europe, right?
It is.
I don't believe so.
It was in the Middle East and Asia as well. I think BN has the exclusive rights to MotoGP.
I thought they were still broadcasting on like BBC or something like that.
Well. Whatever it is, was it live in Europe, or was it tape delay?
Yeah, but even still, does it get preempted for soccer, right?
Well, it must be because the El Clasico is great.
Yeah, MotoGP is on BT Sports, not being in Europe, right? But it doesn't matter. The motorcycle racing in the U.S. needs a kick in the mouth, right? It needs... We're gonna end up losing.
It needs some kind of talent to step up, and I think it really does need.
Here, you know what? You know what? Moto America needs to hire right away today, right? And I am sorry, Paul Carruthers, right? I am sorry that I say this because he's in charge of their media relations and all that stuff, and he's a good guy, and I like Paul Carruthers. MotoGP needs to hire a publicist in the worst way. They need a publicist.
They got to create stars.
They got
to They got to go to 1998 NASCAR.
Yep. They have to bring people in, bring tailgate party, have people on talk shows, right? You know, and one of the problems is you need young guys to be on the television shows. You know, because you don't have any. It helps.
You can do it with the older guys, but it'll be a lot better.
Why
has
nobody from Motor America ever been on Dancing with the Stars? I hate that show, but my sister watches NASCAR now because Clint Boyer was on it. Right? And oh, he danced so good. He was such a nice guy, and he was funny.
Yeah.
Why is Josh Herron not on Dancing with the Stars? Bobby Fong, he's not even Asian. He can do it.
Yeah, you got some.
They need a publicist.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I ranted on. No,
Motor
it was
America,
a good rant. It was a good rant.
We're not
putting down Motor America. They are producing a great product. It's just not getting in front of the eyes.
Seen, right.
Yeah, we gotta get more people.
It's not in front of the eyes.
I'm turning.
If Motor America, if you're mad at me, return my calls.
I am turning on Motor America. To anyone that I talk to racing about.
Yeah. I probably wear the shirt around. And it has, I haven't
I do
yet.
Wear the shirt around.
No, you wore it last week into
I
the
did.
Studio.
I did.
Right.
I wore my Moto America lanyard to work, and I've had people ask me, well, what's Moto America?
And you said, bend over and I'll show you. No, but yeah, I mean, it's not, listen, we love the races in there with the exception of a couple.
No, I like them all.
You do. Right?
But I just think that if you want to be the man, you got to beat the man.
No, I agree.
And I agree with that.
And this was our guy's.
At the same time, I do understand fully your point.
Right? And this was our guy's chance to shine, and a lot of them didn't step up to the
plate. They may have. They may have stepped up. We wouldn't know because we didn't see it.
That's actually true. That is actually very true. All right. Let's talk about. I want to talk one little thing about Moto 3.
Which I didn't get to watch, and I did not even try to find the highlights.
Okay. I'm not even sure how to pronounce this guy's name. It's like Nakaring Atarate Pufatata Vatadata. His last name is like literally 48 syllables. And he had a horrible crash. And then got back up. But right, I mean, he like went over the front handlebars like Faulkner.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it on a Moto 3 bike.
Did he get run over by it?
I think it like slid next to him. Okay. It was a horrible crash. I was like, ooh, he'll feel that in the morning, but apparently he doesn't. He's a pretty decent guy. But Fanati won, which was kind of a shock. I think everybody was thinking it was going to be Canet because he was just out and gone, and it was a weird race. There was a lot of crashes. They had a red flag and restarted, shortened the race, and some guys got to switch tires and some guys couldn't switch tires because they had their medium tire on, so their medium tire had five more laps than the other guys on the medium tires. It turned into a Moto 3S show, right? I mean, it was, right? I mean, but that's great racing in Moto 3, you know. And you had did have one guy break away, Roman Fanati, after people started crashing and stuff, got away by 4.5 seconds, which is crazy in Moto 3. But then second through seventh, we're all under 2 seconds. Right? Like you had one guy way out ahead, and everybody else was still fighting everything to the last minute. So it was quite the race. But I just wanted to mention the crash by the guy whose name I cannot pronounce, and I won't even try. Moto 2.
I'm tired of Morbidelli. Because every time I choose Luthi in the pool, Morbidelli wins.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you can choose Luthi right now. Although, sooner or later, he's going to dump it. Or Morbidelli's not going to win. Luthi's always good for a win. I was a little shocked by Alex Marquez in the beginning of the race.
Yeah, he was out there.
He was out there. He was battling. You know, I thought, oh my God, have I been wrong by this guy? And then Alex Marquez showed up and he kind of drifted back, right? Morbidelli right now is fast.
Yeah. Well, Marquez finished almost right at 3 seconds behind Nakagami.
Yeah, who was 6 seconds or almost 7 seconds behind behind Morbidelli. Luthi was the only guy close at 2.5 seconds, and I think he made up a lot of that because it was over a 3 second lead, and I think Morbidelli backed off.
This you know, and unlike the one a couple weeks ago where they kept saying this is a dominant Morbidelli performance, this was a more dominant performance than that one was.
Yeah, because he battled with Marquez. It was not easy pushing Marquez back. And then once he got past
him. Once he got past him, that was it.
Yeah, he made that one pass that, like, he managed to hold it, and there was no battling back, and he just walked the dog, you know? And that's a hard place. You know, one thing I like about Coda, right, is Coda, it's hard to say, you know, there are some tracks that favor the Ducatis because they had that big straightaway, and they have the big sweeping turn.
Can't say that anymore.
Right? There are some places that favor the Hondas, some places favor the Yamahas, right? I think Coda is one of the most well-balanced tracks they go to. Big, huge straightaway, lots of tight little turns, right? 20-some-odd turns.
Yeah. Big, pretty, huge pretty nice back straight, too.
Right, right. That's the biggest one in the series, right? So it's a great track because everybody works out that it's your lap time. You're really racing the track, not each other. Right, you need to cut out the good lap time, and I actually like that kind of racing because it usually leads to good racing.
Well, and the way he started does it makes it that way because you got that almost 180 degree turn at turn one.
Yeah,
that forces everyone to line up and start running against the clock.
Yeah, right. And now it's a timed race. So Moto 2. I don't know. Was there anything you want to add to Moto 2?
No, Morbidelli was just good. Luthi didn't look bad, but
Nakagami didn't look bad, but they're just not.
This is Morbidelli. He is hot right now.
Yeah.
It might wear off in a few weeks. It might wear off next week.
It might not wear off
at all.
Right. It usually always wears off. It's just a matter of time. But it might not. I don't know. He's definitely a step ahead of everybody. Then we get to what everybody was hoping would be a big showdown between Marquez, the four-time winner.
Five-time now.
at Circuit of Americas. And Maverick... Yes, I am Paris Hilton's former boyfriend, Vinales. You know, and the funny thing is, and I said this a few weeks ago, what did I say? I said, you know, we were picking out who we thought would go win the championship, and Ken was big on Marquez, and I said, I can see Rossi second placing it to a championship.
That is very, you can't disagree with that.
He probably has a win or two in him. He doesn't have a lot of wins. But he definitely has a lot of seconds in him. And
a couple additional DNFs by
either
Marquez
guy.
Or Vinales, right. And that's it.
Because Vinales crashed trying to catch Marquez.
And then the other races. He wasn't going to catch him either.
No, and in the other races, Marquez crashed trying to catch Vinales.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I really think those two guys are. I think those two guys are both greased lightning.
In that race, I think Marquez might have had a chance to catch Vinales, but I don't think anyone was going to catch Marquez at Coda.
No.
And speaking of catching people, I don't think Ducati is fast anymore. The other bikes are now as fast as they are.
Top-end speed.
When they hit those straight stretches, Ducati did not...
Walk away like they did last year.
Nope. Not at all.
Everybody's caught up. The Honda, to me, it looked like the Honda had the most walk-away speed.
Yeah, right? I'd have to say
Pedrosa,
that, yeah.
Pedrosa came out and had a solid race. He led. You know, he didn't have the... He went soft. I think it went soft, and Marquez went hard, soft. Hard, medium.
Yeah.
And I think Pedrosa was medium on the tires, and he just ate the front out. Rossi battled him to the end. So Rossi, we should talk about the Rossi Zarco incident.
All right. So I watched that and then I backed up and watched it again. The only thing that didn't happen was that Rossi didn't kick him. That's the only, this to me, that was nothing but a race move. He came in hard, he cut under him, and I've seen Rossi, just in the short time I've been riding, I've seen Rossi do that exact same thing to other racers.
It was a good pass.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's how you pass. It's an aggressive pass, but I thought it was clean. They touched, right? Motorcycle racing, even though we don't like talking about it, is a contact sport.
I'm not sure they did touch.
I think they did. Rossi set up, and he ended up out there in no man's land, out in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, by being out there in the paint, you know, I look at it, and they say he advanced his gaining on Marquez. That's why they penalized him 0.3 seconds.
Yeah. Well, they went. Yeah, that's what they supposedly.
I look at that, and it's like he was sitting
on Pedrosa.
I'm sorry, on Pedrosa. Thank you. he was sitting up, and he was already backed off because he was in the paint. And it didn't look like to me he cut 3/10 off of a...
Well, he straightened out 2 turns.
Yeah, but he was straight. Yeah, like
that, if you look at it again, he really cut off 2 turns.
I think that's a questionable penalty, especially after the way they treated Rossi last year with questionable penalties. I want to know what the beef is with MotoGP versus Rossi.
I don't think
there
is.
Are they trying to Josh Hayes him? Are they saying, you're old, retire?
No, I don't think there is one.
Which is stupid to me because Rossi has enough fans. You let Rossi retire when he wants. Right?
Yeah, that's why I don't think.
And it's not
stopping
young, fast guys from riding the other.
That's why I don't think they're trying to do anything in particular about it.
But they seem to be extra rough.
Well, I think they're treating him the same as everyone else, which to the superstar is rougher than everyone else. But at the same time, Rossi's comment the next day about, you know, what happened, he said, well, it was all right, you know, it was okay, but it was Zarco's fault. He took no responsibility for it, you know. He was blaming Zarco for racing him.
Well, no,
How dare you rookie, race me.
No, it was to a point it was Zarco's fault, right? When you're ahead in road racing and you have your line and that guy cuts in, he's cutting in under the assumption that he can make it without touching you. And I think they touched, right?
Maybe they did. You couldn't really tell.
At that point,
I don't think they did, though.
But if you're the trailer guy cutting in.
But you got to look at it.
Rossi holds his line, right?
If he held his line, Zarco was there.
Right.
If he held his line, Zarco would have passed him easily.
You know, if he had held his line, they both would have been on the turn. That was his line. That was his line through the turn.
He did that because he saw Zarco coming.
No, you didn't see
Zarco. He's the old
coming.
Master. He did that to try to get rid of Zarco.
I don't think he's. Well, he is probably is that crafty. Never mind. I was going to say, I don't think he's that crafty.
But yeah, he is. I think he's like Ric Flair. You see what he's done in other races.
Yeah. But
he's a Ric Flair.
Yeah, I can't of MotoGP. Disagree with that. But Rossi got himself a second. He's now the points leader, right?
Zarco finished fourth or fifth?
Fifth, I think. Hold on. I just switched over to the points lead page. Zarco finished fifth, followed by DiVincenzo, followed by Anoni, followed by Petrucci.
And Anoni didn't wreck anyone this weekend.
I know. That was kind of funny.
But going back to the Zarco thing for a moment, what I was trying to get out to before you rudely interrupted me twice was,
want to make it three?
No. Zarco wanted to pass Rossi. Zarco went under him like he did in Moto2. Good racing move. He cut under him before Rossi had a chance to collapse into the line. He did everything. He was racing hard.
He was. I'm not saying, listen, I don't think it was a bad pass. Do I think Rossi being forced out of the line was Zarco's fault?
Rossi took that straight up. He did not have to set up as much. Do I think it was
Zarco's fault? Yes. Do I think that that's a penalty or anything but hard racing? No. Right? If Rossi sat up, that's racing. Him going through.
I don't think he had to go off the track.
The paint.
I don't think he had to go off the track.
I think he did. I think where they were in the turn, right? I mean, the way I look at it is. You don't have a lot of, especially with the accidents that had happened throughout the weekend at that track, right? That paint's slippery.
Yeah.
Right?
It is.
And once you get heading towards that, it's not like you if he had turned the wheel on the bike, he'd have dumped it.
But he still finished well.
He finished well.
He got past Pedrosa.
He got past Pedrosa by enough. He was humping along.
Yeah, well, Pedrosa was falling off fast because his tires were coming apart.
Were gone, right?
You got one slow-mo shot out the rear of Pedrosa's bike, and you can see pieces of the tire coming off.
Looked like he was racing on a cheese grater.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's just shreds of tire. But Crutchlow had another good race on the LCR Honda.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo was top Ducati, which is, you know, sixth place.
Well, like I said... either the racers or the bikes are not as good as they were last year. Because at COTA last year, the Ducati seemed a lot faster.
They don't have the top end. We learned this week that they don't have the grunt on the top end that they had at that they had last year, right? They're not 3 miles an hour faster on that big straightaway than everybody else, right? And because they weren't gaining on people, they weren't passing anybody. Lorenzo, he's lucky the race ended so he could stop falling through the standings, right?
Yeah, and not only did he not ride well, he had the wrong tires too.
Yeah, he's just a mess right now. He needs to get off the if he's leaving Ducati at the end of the season, if he tendered his resignation, that's the best thing that can happen to that guy. And not that we wish the best for him.
Well, you know, and the one guy we really haven't talked about who won the race, other than saying that it was his fifth win,
Marquez.
Yeah, he had a pretty much a dominating. He actually did have a dominating race.
Once he got past Pedrosa, he was gone.
Yeah.
Right? And once Pedrosa's tires started to go just a little, right, he was gone. You're right. Once he got past Pedrosa, and I thought Pedrosa had a great race. And Rossi too, right? Rossi came in to race his way in the second.
He did.
Raced his way into the points lead, you know, and this isn't NASCAR. You don't need to have a win to win the championship. And Rossi got a 6-point lead over Vinales, and it's a 18-point lead over Marquez, which those aren't big leads, but a lot of seconds are hard to beat. A lot of seconds are hard to beat.
Yeah, they are. Points is points.
Points is points, right? 20 points is a lot of points a lot of times. Coming up, because we should probably wrap this up. We've been talking way too long. Coming up this weekend is World Superbike at Assen in the Netherlands. The Nether region, something like that.
I thought Assen was on Uranus.
No, Planet X. Assen in the World Superbike Supercross goes to New Jersey. It smells like a New Jersey. They'll be there in Jersey.
Yeah, it's an early race, guys. 5 o'clock is start time for the race.
Yeah, or 4:30, I think.
Well, that's start time for coverage.
Okay, so they'll be there in the swamps in New Jersey. Right, with the trash and all that kind of stuff.
Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah, not too far from Hoffa. And then in 2 weeks, we have MotoGP. We'll be at Jerez.
Is there any flat track this weekend coming?
I think it's still 2 weeks away.
2 weeks. Yeah, I knew they had a big break here.
Yeah, they got a big break here. It's like 2 weeks away. That's it for the racing segment. We hope you enjoy it. You know, if you want to tweet Josh Hayes and say I laid into him, I don't care. You know, if you want to tweet Moto, listen, if you think I'm wrong about the whole, whatever I said about Supercross, I remember I said something bad about Supercross, Moto America or MotoGP, I don't care. Let me know.
And check out our other half of the show on Patreon.
Thank you. Go to patreon.com/NTN. Subscribe, give us $1 a week, and you can listen to the other part of the show we did.
Where there are no beeps.
I don't think we really. Ken brings the cursing out in that because he's just a hateful person. And this
is
week,
that true, Ken?
We talked a lot of different things. We just jump around on that show and have some fun with it. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.